Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Prodigious Cafe Radio. I am Prodigious Stewart, your host. How is everyone, family? It's February 2024. We are jumping and leaping into the new year. What's in your cup tonight? Tonight, I am sipping on lemon, ginger, and turmeric with, I'm not going to lie, a tablespoon of honey. I need a little bit of sweetness in that flavor. What's in your cup tonight? If you don't have one, go grab it. Get your paper, your pencil, your pen, your phone so that you can type on your notes. Let's get into it. Family, tonight, we are talking about minding your business versus managing your business. Oh, last month, Khadija 7 was so gracious as to interview me, right, to kind of dig a little bit deeper into my journey and what's going on. So going forward, family, I always did this before, but I want to be very, very purposeful and intentional about our topics and how we get through it. So, family, I am going to ask that you press 1 tonight whenever the thought comes to mind, or you even want you want to even just share with us, right? Let us know, family. Let us know what's going on, right? We want to make sure that we open up this conversation, that I'm not the only one here talking. I want, family, you all have experiences and things to share, and I want you to share them with us, okay? So, family, yes. I want you to call in tonight. Press 1. As I start asking questions along the way, and if it seems like something that you've experienced or that you have some knowledge of, or it's just something that you want to kind of share with us, please, family, call in. Press 1 tonight. But I want to get into the theme of minding your business versus managing your business. Okay? So business, as I'm talking tonight, I will definitely differentiate in whether or not I'm talking about business as in a product or service business or if I'm talking about business here, okay? And business here refers to daily interactions in business, parenting, and life. That's what we're talking about. So I made this post throughout the week, and I think a lot of people thought I was referring to, you know, minding people's business, right? Now, are you in someone else's business? Are you kind of poking your nose somewhere you shouldn't be? And I am talking about that a little bit, and I'll get into it especially when we get into the family piece. But I want to tap on mainly three subjects tonight, family. And that's, are you doing all of the daily tasks of the business in your business yourself? So I'm speaking directly to those of you out there who have businesses, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my journey and that experience. And it's interesting because I had to step out of my comfort zone in that journey, and we're going to talk about that. I want to talk also about, are you crutching your children? And I'm going to give a kind of maybe non-PG example tonight about that and how we kind of dig a little bit deeper into how we mind the business, right, or manage the business of parenting. And then lastly, we're going to discuss your affairs, right? Are your affairs in order? Are you minding and are you managing your health, your finances, your relationships, your plans, your goals, legacies, impacts, right? I'm going to put all of that in a nice ending, hopefully, and put a bow on it. But family, remember, this can be even better if you all push 1 and kind of interact with me. Give me some dialogue tonight. Let's jump into this. So the goal for tonight is to clarify what it looks like for us, right? What does it look like for minding versus managing our business in our businesses, our family, or our life? And then I'm hoping that the purpose and the goal would be to answer the question, where do we start? Right? I can sit here and talk all night, or you guys can call in and we can have discussions.
But if we're not actually starting to do the work, then what's the point in having conversation? You know, it just becomes something that my mother used to always say, lip service, right? We don't need to just have discussions. We need to get the work done. And I'm hoping, family, that this is exactly what I'm helping you do here. Right? I'm not just talking because I like to talk. Believe me, I do. I enjoy it. But I want us to get some work done in our lives, in our businesses, in our parenting, in our relationships. Okay, so call in. Remember, press that one as we go along. Are you doing all of the daily tasks of your business? I want to start with business, right? That's kind of what I do. But I want to talk about that journey of doing all of the everything. And please, family, if you are out there and you are running a business yourself, I want you definitely to call in, right? This is stepping out of the comfort zone. This is stepping out of the comfort zone, right? You can't run a successful business if you're the only one doing the work. I have started, as Khadija 7, we talked last week, Mama 7, we talked about, you know, what did I do? What are some of the things that I did along this journey to get to where I am? And I started taking courses. I started going to workshops, intentional courses and intentional workshops to build my business, right, and my business sense of things. So when you are running a business, task assessment, right, that has to be a part of the process. Evaluate the daily tasks involved in the business operations. So you can't do that on a daily basis and run all of the tasks in the business. So I learned that and developed a team. In my business consulting on my for-profit side of things, I have a team that helps me strategize. I have a team that helps build the operations of what we're doing. I have a team that helps with the marketing, right? So these are things that you need in your business. And people say, well, I can't build a team. I don't have the money. Join my membership if you want to learn how to do it without having money for it. Because, yes, you can build a team without having the monetary funds to build it. There are ways to do that. And I'm not giving away the sauce because that's part of what I do in business, right? But those, we teach you how to do that. Delegation opportunities. You have to identify tasks that can be delegated to free up your time. But remember, we can't delegate that if we have not assessed what those tasks are. Remember, family, I always talk about BOPE, brainstorm, organize, plan, and execute. So here is a perfect example of how you can't delegate if you have not had that brainstorm time. It's very, very, very important. Time management, right? Consider the time investment required for each task and assess its impact on the overall productivity. You know, time management in business is 90% of the work because money is time and time is money. So if you're not managing time, you're not managing your money. I always tell my clients this. So, you know, if you're the only one that's doing everything, you're managing all of the time and all of the everything. Can't grow a successful business that way. Expertise allocation. Identify the tasks that can be delegated to an expert. There are folks out there that know exactly what needs to be done. You can't know it all. If you did, you wouldn't be running a business. You'd be sitting back and letting everybody else run everything, which is your goal. Right? You have a skill. You have all of these expertise. You have these years of experience. So now, after you've developed this business, right, you started working this business, and now you have a team, right? So now you can sit back and delegate while you're growing the business. You're assessing the task. You're assessing the budget. You're assessing the operations. Right? Efficiency enhancement. How can you assess how to enhance what your business is doing if you're the only one doing it? I tell my team all the time, you know, they give me corrections, which I'm so grateful for. Cora, if you're listening, I'm giving you a shout out. Yes. Siri as well, she does the same thing. These are some of my management level team members. And I love it because it's a reflection of me, because they want to make sure that our organization and our business looks good, does good, and is effective. So if I'm doing something wrong, if I've made a mistake, and if there is a hole, my team is able to tell me exactly, you know, where that hole is. I have to explore the opportunities and to be able to streamline that wash, repeat, and rinse and repeat process, right? That's all a part of what you're doing when you're doing efficiency enhancement. We talked about experts, right? So outsource considerations. In business, especially if you're a small business growing, you should be doing a lot of outsourcing. And as you grow, you should be bringing in more of those people and making them employees. But like I said, that's a part of what we show people in our organization, how to do that. And then strategic focus. You want to reflect on delegating routine tasks. Oh, my gosh, I cannot emphasize enough how important understanding when to implement wash, rinse, repeat, right? And you want to be strategic about how you do that, right? Because what happens is you're fostering growth within your organization and within your team, right? You have a team now, so it's easier to be strategic. You have time to be strategic. And that was a lot, family, I know. But that's how you manage your business, right, versus minding your business. Please, push one. I would love to have Khadija chime in as a business professional and for so many years.
Greetings. This is a wonderful topic. I'm so glad that you did this.
I had to.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No,
well,
please go ahead.
I mean, when you were starting, I said, hold on. Let me get my pen and paper, because I believe in being around people with wisdom, with pen and paper, because I don't want to lose anything. And as you were getting started, I was so for those that don't know me, I run multiple businesses, constantly doing many different things at one time. And counseling is a big part of what I do. And when you were talking about comfortable, and I was thinking to myself, when was the last time you were comfortable? You can't get comfortable.
No.
You cannot get comfortable. I tell family, please, if you're comfortable, you're not pushing yourself. You're not applying all of yourself. If you're comfortable, that means you're not trying hard enough. I love radio. I've been doing radio for a long time, and I still have those little moments of discomfort. You know, I'm still like, oh, I wonder if this is the right topic. I wonder if this is the right time. There'll always be or should be, because what that does is that forces you to say, okay, let me think about this again. Let me confer with my counsel. If this is right, let me do this, let me do that. So that uncomfortable is not there to stop you. It's there to make sure that you're really putting all your energy into it and letting you know, well, do you need to ask another question? Do you need to speak with someone about it? So don't let the uncomfortable stop you. You know, we got to get comfortable with uncomfortable.
It's a must. I always told people. I did not find out who I was until I became uncomfortable, right?
Yes.
Because you know your best you as long as you're doing things in a comfortable.
Exactly.
All you know is your minimal you.
And there will come a point when you will not be satisfied with minimal you. You know, there should be something in your gut that says, you know what? I'm doing this, but I do want to do it differently. I want to do it more, or even I want to do it less. I'd like to try something new. And so there should be a part of you that is calling and demanding and reminding you that, you know, there's more for you. And so, yeah, that comfort, I don't want people to let that lull them into a sleep, you know.
Yeah.
And lull them into stopping. So, great topic.
But when we win a goal or an accomplishment or we get a raise, right, now I don't need to do anymore. I'm okay. I've got enough.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I strongly encourage you, get uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable.
Yes.
And get your team together.
Mm-hmm.
And your team will help you get past that uncomfortable. You know, that's what the team is for. You know, you may have to switch out drivers for a second, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, yeah. Yeah, I love the idea. And we have to, you know, sometimes I think business people feel like, oh, I have to make it seem like I got it all together or I know all the answers and everything else like that. But for someone that's done it for ages, I can tell you that's not true.
And you know one thing I've found in business, that when I don't know it, and even in a position or somewhere where I'm trying to, quote, unquote, be impressive. But
yes.
I'm just, no, I'm not familiar with that. Or,
yes.
No, that's kind of new to me. It
yes.
It actually gives you a level of credibility because it
mm-hmm.
expresses people that you're comfortable in telling people that you're not comfortable.
Right. Right.
You know?
My go-to. I'll share a nugget. My go-to is, can we brainstorm about this?
Mm. I like that.
Because what I want to do is let you know I have a couple of ideas, but that doesn't have to be the only idea. I'm open to hearing more ideas, you know? And so, to me, that leaves the door open. And it also, people appreciate an open door. You know, some people, unless the door is open, they're not going to knock. They're not going to try to come through or anything like that. So sometimes you literally have to leave the door open. And the way I do that is asking, hey, can we brainstorm on it? You know, I want to know more about what you're thinking. I want to know more about how you're making all this work because this is a lot. You know, I would like your input on what I have to say. And so when you do that, it opens it up, and I love it. So that's just something that, you know, over the years I have found people are receptive to, you know?
And it leaves an impact because what happens is people remember people who leave doors open.
Amen.
You know?
That's
and
wonderful.
People are watching you as well.
Mm-hmm.
No, then you wind up building a reputation of being that person who, oh, she's open-minded. Or,
yes.
You know, I converse with her. I want to partner with her. I want to team with her because although we may not do the same thing or say the same thing, I know that she's willing to build, right?
Absolutely.
And that's the place to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't know For me, I'm always keeping my ears open for opportunities and open doors, not just for myself. I know so many people, and when I hear opportunity, I'm like, I know someone who's been looking for that opportunity, and I'll go share. So, you know, don't make an assumption in your brain saying, oh, well, they don't want this, they don't need this. You don't know whose ear they have open. And so...
Mm-hmm.
Don't close any doors thinking there's not a need. Keep the door open, and that allows you and that allows people to come to you even if they're coming to you indirectly, and that happens.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
And it's
interesting
because that indirect connection can sometimes be the best connection. You know, it's that connection that you weren't looking for, that connection, that impact you had that you didn't realize you were having it, but
that's
because
right.
you left the door, it became available to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're exploring something outside of your comfort zone, Right. Which you didn't even be able to explore. I love the open door. I love that one. Because you hit the nail with that one.
Thank you so much. It's always wonderful sharing with you. I'm going to go back to mute, but you got. I hope everyone went and got their pen and paper and took a time to, you know, write some things down. This is opportunities just flowing in the air. So, yeah, I hope everyone did.
So much.
Thank you.
And you know, I'm so grateful Khadija jumped in and she kind of made me, I'm going to shift. I was going to go to parenting next, but I'm going to go into life. I was going to end with life, but she started talking about the open door, right? And I can't leave there without transitioning into managing and or minding the business of relationships and impact and legacy. Right? Our finances and plans and our goals, we're going to talk about all of that. I want to transition into that because when managing life, do we make decisions that are good for our mental and physical health and our community? You know, when she talked about leaving an open door, you know, you go, if you're a part of any organization, if you're a part of any community, if you're a part of a PTA, if you're a part of a political board, if you're part of a nonprofit organization, you know that you have to manage personalities, right? You have to manage concepts and ideas and issues and money for people. But one thing that you have to be able to do is say, can we brainstorm? Can we leave an open door? And when you're managing, it's different than minding. Right? So you can be on an organization or on a team and your job is to do just your job. And that's exactly what you do. So now you're minding the business of what your role and what your job is, right? But are you possibly seeing how your job can assist someone else or how you can help someone else on that team do their job? It's interesting, in my team meeting last night, that's part of what we do, is that we help each other in our own separate businesses, right? So they're part of my team, but they each have all their own businesses. And we discussed that last night. And it was very key to me that I let them understand the value in helping each other. It wasn't hard because I have an awesome team. This team is just, these women work like so well. It's like putting a hand in a glove. I'm very blessed to say that. There's no hiccups. And don't get me wrong, we have struggles, we have problems, but the personalities just really blend really well. And we really care about each other's successes. So when you leave that open door, that's what you're saying to the people that you're working with, to the people that you're serving, to the children that you benefit, right, to your boss, to anyone that you're communicating, working with, or dealing with. When you're leaving the open door, when you understand that maybe you're not on the same page of something, when you don't agree about something, but by leaving the open door, you're saying you want to solve the problem, right? You want to get to a solution. You want to succeed. So we're going to both step out of our comfort zone, and we're going to get there because I'm going to leave the open door for us to brainstorm and us to work together to do it. So this allows us to make good financial decisions, right? Because we have discussions with people about finances. Right, we're stepping out of our comfort zone now. We're looking for information that's going to help us make those decisions. Okay, we're making financial decisions that are impacting our community and the people that we live with and operate with, because we are leaving the door open. Khadija, I am going to take this one and ride it home because it's so important to understand. We can really become me people sometimes, right? We can accomplish our goals. We can get our degrees. We can grow our businesses. We can have our families. And we can be so happy and comfortable in where we are in life and forget that we have an obligation to step out of our comfort zone and leave a door open for someone else. Make an impact. Make decisions. Have conversations with people in our community, with people that we service, with people that we know we can help. Find out, how do you leave that door open? You may not have the answer, but in asking someone, how do I help you, right? And then they may not even know how to ask for help. I was at a networking event, and it was interesting. We were actually told to understand how to give service and then how to have an ask. And this is something that even you, the person that's managing this legacy or this impact, you may have to ask, tell the person how to ask for help. Yes, you may have to do that. You know, I talk to many business people a lot of times, and people that are really high up, you know, when you're doing pitching and when they're helping entrepreneurs and they're in spaces, you know, sometimes that becomes the caveat, right? Do they know how to give the ask? If they don't have their ask, I'm not going to help them. Well, we can't always think that way, because there are sometimes people that need just a little bit more help. And having the ability to tell someone how to ask may be the biggest treasure that you can give them, right? So that's managing life, right? Stepping out of your comfort zone and helping someone, leaving an impact and opening a door and helping people with their ask. I'm getting really specific with that. And legacy building. I want to talk about legacy building. People throw that out the door all the time. They always tell, oh, I'm going to leave a legacy. Well, why are you starting a business? I want to leave a legacy for my children. Legacy building is thrown around a lot. And it's a lot more than what you're doing for your family. It's what you're doing for community, as I said. If you notice, famous people that are socially conscious, whether they're wealthy or not, or financially comfortable, whether they're just really, really wealthy or they're financially comfortable, they're usually investing in communities. Look at all of the different housing, business, and school developments that various celebrities have invested in. Why? Because they're managing their life. They're understanding that their life impact is a lot more than their comfort. And it's very important that we as citizens in society and human beings are part of that great community of the world. And I know it may be a bit, you know, kumbaya-ish to think this way, but if we all take our little piece of what we can do to open that door, it makes a great impact. I've watched it happen on small scales with grassroots organizations in inner cities. I've watched it with people that are just helping other people in communities. I've watched it. Even something is, and Khadijah, I'm going to give you your props, right? A wonderful approach. You know, they give DJ's Cafe this opportunity once a month. She's opening a door, right? And we talk. She and I have conversations throughout the year about how to build this program in the brainstorm. So she sees that it's not just her comfort zone. It's not just what she's doing, but she's opening a door for others, you know. And this is someone who you may not think is famous, but I see is famous. Why? Because she's not just socially conscious. She's aware, and she's spreading words and good things and wonderful approaches for people to take with life. Yes, Khadijah, I have to give props tonight for that. So she's one of the famous people that's making an impact and minding her life, the business of her life, by opening the door. Look at all that what Oprah Winfrey does, Ellen DeGeneres, Magic Johnson, right? Think about the things that they've done, the investments that they've made in communities. Sean Diddy Combs, Ashton Kutcher, Mark Wahlberg, Michael Epps, LeBron James, right? These are people that understand that minding their life and minding their money has to mean leaving an impact. It has to mean putting a footprint out there. And you don't have to be rich to do this. I made a statement in a post throughout the week on Facebook, and it talked about If you are in need, you are also in need of doing service, right? Because whenever we do something for someone else, whenever we serve a greater good other than ourselves, there's a benefit that comes. I promise you, there's a benefit that comes. So understand that in managing your life, it does not always equate to your checkbook. It does not always equate to your mortgage, to your children's tuition, to your vacations, to your clothes. It may equate in what are you doing to make sure that someone else is managing those things, that someone else can even think about, right, having a checkbook. Okay, so that's managing life. Last, a few minutes left, I want to get into the managing family. And I'm going to do a definition alert to what that entails as far as parenting is concerned. Being a parent in a child's life, this is my definition, is being a parent is being present in a child's life while guiding them through the navigation of life, right? I chose parenting to talk about under the topic of family because it's been what's driven my life for the past 20 years. It's also been what's been the best part of my life, and it's been really the most impactful part of my life that's grown me, right? I grew up after becoming a parent. I did not believe that I had experienced life until becoming a parent. And I want to speak to the aunties and uncles out there because you're a parent as well, right? Taking those children on weekends and for summers and on vacations and buying them clothes and making sure proms are okay and helping out, you know, parents out with tuitions and being the one that's in the hotel room with them on vacations, right? This is parenting because you're a part of that guidance process. And you're part of that big picture of growing this beautiful little clay, right? And that's why I said guiding. I didn't say directing or dictating. Situations happen in parenting that force you as an individual to grow. Children will say and do some things that are going to put you in situations that you have to grow. You have to make decisions. You have to make commitments. You have to admit to things about yourself that force you to grow. So in defining parenting, you notice I use guide, right? I didn't use dictate. When we as parents are hands-on all the time, from year one to 18, and this is a part of my journey, family, I had to learn this, we miss the opportunity to let our children fail, learn, and grow. I did not say that we are present. They have to fail. I don't mean let them do whatever they want and look the other way. I mean letting them understand early in life that there's consequences for actions. And this is my kind of non-PG example. If you tell a capable, understanding 2 or 3-year-old child, do not touch an electrical outlet, and you step away for a second, not leaving them alone, just step away for a second, maybe to put something in the trash or something. And then within that few minutes, that capable 2 or 3-year-old sticks their finger in the electrical socket. No, I say capable because I mean not a child with special needs, not a child that has a 2 or 3-year-old that has a hard time, you know, diagnosing or understanding what you said, right? But one that's capable of understanding, don't touch the electrical outlet. And they do it anyway. And they get shocked. There was a consequences, right, for that child being deficient and following your instructions. But there was a lesson learned. The one thing that they developed from the lesson is that they're going to think twice before they stick their finger in the outlet again. Now, it's a harsh lesson to learn, but at 2 or 3, it's a better lesson to learn than at 16 or 17. When you're in situations that have larger consequences, right? So the time to introduce consequences, managing the relationship with your child does not mean dictating. It means guiding. It means giving them opportunities to fail, giving them opportunities to feel consequences. At an age where the consequence does not have a permanent scar. And it's a fine juggle. It's a fine juggle, right? But I did this with my children, and I'm still learning. I'm not perfect. But you have to find avenues to not crutch your child. You know, I have teenagers now, and I have some that are 18. I have some that are in their 20s. And I have some of the, you know, the preteens. Well, they're all 12, 13, 14. That's the youngest age. And they have their own mindset of things that they want to do. And some of the things I don't like, I really do not like. And some of the things that I don't like are my opinion. Some are really health conscious issues that I have to talk and put my foot down about and be really strict about, right? But there's some I have to let them make their own decisions on. And some of them is career. Right, when we do this non-traditional learning program, and the kids, you know, they're being directed or guided, not dictated to, into community college at 14 and 15. And I've had some children tell me, "Mom, I don't want to do that. That's not where I want to go." Now, this is this plan that I've had all along for them, right? This is what you're going to do. This we're going to succeed. This is what your older siblings have done. And I have one child that said to me, "Mom, I want to operate machines, and that's what I want to do," right? So if I get an associate's degree, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to get a bachelor's degree. I may not even run a business, Mom. I may not want to. I just want to operate machines. So it's my job now as a parent to not dictate to this child that you have to get a bachelor's degree, that you have to become an entrepreneur. It's my job as the parent to guide him. He's expressed that this is what he wants to do. So now it's my job to help him become the best machine operator he can become. And if I think that entrepreneurship is something that he still should explore, now it's my job to guide him through and open up the windows, open up the door, and let him see where he can benefit for entrepreneurship while still doing and incorporating in what he wants to do. Letting him understand that I'm here. The door is open. Let's brainstorm together. Ask me the questions. Let me help you do the research, right? But what I want for you may not be what you want for yourself. So this is what I mean by not crutching our children, not dictating to them, right, and not allowing them not to fail. These are aspects of their life that the sooner they understand this, the less the scar is impactful for their future. And I use the outlet, full disclosure, I use the outlet example because this is what I did with my children. Now, I have 8 children. So I think by the time you were on the third child, it never happened again because one child would see the other child do it, and I don't think that's something I'm going to do, right? So the number of children made it easier for the lesson to be learned. But I only think there were 2 children that ever did it out of 8, to be honest with you. Now, mind you, mommy doesn't see everything, and I understand that concept. But I made sure that they understood that there were consequences. And even to this day, you know, we do things like hold court. When there's a dispute or there's something, a problem that they need to work out and they're not agreeing on it, then we'll hold a family court, right? And we'll decide whose roles are played throughout the family court. And that's the benefit of having a big family, mind you. But it's allowing them to express themselves and then to explore what the consequences are before they take actions. And that's something that we as parents should be guiding our children to understand. Explore what you want to explore, but please understand that there are consequences for your actions. There are. So I want to recap, Sammy, and I want to make sure, see if I hit my goal tonight, right? So my goal, I'm going to read back. It says to clarify what it looks like for us. Khadija called in, and she did. She clarified, right? She gave me that open door concept of brainstorming and keeping an open door when you're communicating with people and being outside of your comfort zone, right? And understanding that you have to succeed in the comfort zone. So that's kind of what it looks like when we're managing our business, right? When we're managing our business, the product or service that we're offering to the public, when we're managing our life business of leaving impacts and legacies, right? We're not just worried about what's going on in our household, in our job, in our car, in our families, in our friendships. We're leaving impacts. We're managing our life so that our life, it leaves an impact and a legacy. It's not just minding everyday routines. We can do that all day. But is that our stepping out of our comfort zone? Is that getting the better us? You know, I really quick before I came on, I made a post and I said, I asked, what lesson did you learn from stepping out of your comfort zone? And one of my friends responded. She said, it's not that it was a whole lot of work. She said it happened quickly. And she said she learned different variations of herself. So to me, it sounded like she was able to look at all of herself and see better things and more things by stepping out of a comfort zone. So that's what we want to do with our life, family. We want to make sure that we're impacting communities. We're impacting children. We're impacting elderly. We're impacting our future plans and goals are impacting these things. My non-traditional DJ Diverse training services, we're going to be doing a few things for the community. But one thing we do is during the time when nobody else is doing it, we're handing out snack bags to communities throughout the city of Baltimore. And it's not just the homeless, right? It's also those who are substance abuse addicts. We go to those neighborhoods, the kids and I, and we hand out the bags. And the kids love it. They love it. Because they're stepping out of their comfort zone. They're living impacts and legacies at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. So if children can do it, family, you can. And then in parenting, right, minding your business, allowing children to not be crutched, understanding at an early age the importance of the consequence, and understanding the consequence of the action and having to allow them to fail at an early age so that they don't fail in an older age. That really is the goal for that. So I hope we shaped some kind of picture. I hope that's what you got from this, family. I hope you were able to take this information and put it into your clay, right, for your life. And don't mind your business anymore. Don't just do things on a daily basis to get it done. Manage it. Get the better you out of life. Get the better relationships. Get the better family, the better parenting. Leave a legacy of impact, right? I have a little extra, so I'm going to give a little extra. I have some more time. I'm going to give some more time. Right, I'm going to make those phone calls. I'm guilty of it, and I'm constantly working. This is my journey that I spoke about with Khadija last month with you guys, right? And I'm making an impact. So, family, thank you so much for listening. It's been awesome. This February has gone by very, very quick. If you're in the Baltimore area, Princess and Queens Self-Care Day. We're helping girls ages 12 to 15. We're empowering them with nail care tips, hair care tips, networking, finance and budgeting tips, college and education goal planning, right? So we're going to empower young girls between 12 and 15. I'm going to help and try to make sure I leave my impact at the Cahill Rec Center in Baltimore, 4001 Clifton Avenue. So please register. I have posts all over. K-Stewart Consulting is on Facebook and Instagram, and DJ's Diverse Training Services, DJ Communication. Please, family, reach out to me. Let me know, how are you making an impact and leaving a legacy? As always, family, brainstorm, organize, plan, and execute, and develop it just as it happens. Until next month, peace and blessings, family.